Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Ramacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Shri Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Want to say this together? Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Charivam Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. Do you know what that means? Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Vyasa, the author, and I like to say, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, because if we didn't have it translated, and if we didn't have the comments by Prabhupada, we wouldn't really have a very good understanding of what Srimad Bhagavatam was about.
These kids would have to pay more attention to Sanskrit class.
They would. Well, Jai. So, next one? Yeah, I know, translation. Thank you. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs,
is established as an irrevocable fact. Next time you remind me, you can do that responsibly. The translation was a little weak. Thank you. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 2. And we're on chapter 9, which is called Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. We're on text number 22. Now this chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, there's a story behind it, because everything has a reason in the Bhagavatam. So previously, so many questions were asked. They were asked by Maharaj Parikit to Sukadev Goswami. When he was hearing it, when Parikit Maharaj was hearing from Sukadev Goswami, he asked so many questions about Krishna, the creation, this, that, so many things. Activities of the living entity, what's the result of activity, what's the highest thing, what's the best thing for everyone to do. And then when Sutta Goswami, Sukadev, Maharaj Parikit was hearing from Sukadev Goswami. And in the audience were many sages, and one of them was Sutta. So there's a lot of S's here. So Sutta Goswami, after he heard Sukadev speak to Parikit, afterwards, he went and told another very large group of sages in Naimisharanya. There were 85,000 sages there. And so Sutta Goswami repeated what he had heard. And then those sages had some questions. So many questions. And that's the nature of the Bhagavatam. Questions, answers. What is this? What is that? Why is that happened? Why is that happened? That's how the Bhagavatam is set up. And that, in fact, a lot of the scriptures are set up that way. Questions and answers. So, but we should understand that the Bhagavatam means that it's all spoken by Krishna. Vyasadeva compiled it, but Krishna was there in his heart telling him what to do. So anyway, here, this and this particular section that we're on, the Lord is speaking to Brahma. So do you remember Brahma's story? So when Brahma manifested himself on top of that lotus flower, he wasn't born as a little baby. He just was born as an adult. He was just, and he manifested on top of the lotus flower, and it was dark, and it was windy, and he was wondering, what's going on? Where am I? Why is this lotus, why is the wind blowing so much? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? So he was wondering about what to do, who he was, what his job was. And he thought, where did I come from? Did you ever think that? Where did I come from? Where did I come from? That's a sign of a human being. Where did I come from? And then you know what the next question should be? Where am I going? Yeah, that's a good question. Where am I going? Okay, so anyway, Lord Brahma said, where did I come from? Well, I must have come from someplace down there, down the lotus stem. So he climbed down the lotus stem. That's how big the lotus was. He could climb down it, okay? And he climbed down, 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 down. He didn't get to the bottom of it. He couldn't figure out where he was or who. So he started to climb back up, and he heard something. Do you remember what he heard? Does anybody? Yes. Tapa, 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 tapa. So what does tapa mean? Yes?
Austerity.
Austerity, penance, do some penance, practice, try to figure it out. And somehow or other, even though there was nobody around, he heard tapa. And somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, because Krishna's always in the heart and we're never alone, ever, 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 Brahma knew what to do. So he performed austerities and penances and meditation for 100 years. Not 100 of our years, 100 of his years, which is like a really long time. And this section that we're in now is right after that. Right after he performed penances, and then Krishna appeared to him. And you know what he did? Yeah, well, I know that you know, but hold on. He shook his hand. He said, you did a good job. You followed, that was me, he told him, actually he's going to say that in the next verse. That was I that told you to do the austerities, you did it, congratulations. And now Krishna, today's verse, Krishna is going to tell Lord Brahma what a good job he did, more or less. Okay, that was the introduction, you ready? Okay. Om Agyanatimin, I should have said this first. Om Agyanatimidandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Militam Jaina Tasmai Shigurava Namaha. What's the similarity in that prayer and Lord Brahma's situation? What's the translation of that prayer? Om Agyanatimidandasya.
Darkness.
Can you say it louder?
Darkness.
Darkness. I was born in darkness. Was somebody else born in darkness? Brahma. And what happened? When we're born in darkness, but our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he's given us transcendental knowledge, and that's what opened our eyes and shown us the way. It already answered, just that already answers two questions, in one sense. Where did I come from? He tells us. And where we're going? He's pointing the way back to Godhead. So the spiritual master opens our eyes and gives us transcendental knowledge. And what should we do in response to that? At least offer our prayers and gratitude. At least, the very minimum. Somebody just took you out of the darkness and brought you to the light. And not just the bright light of a light bulb, but the beautiful light of seeing the darshan of Radha Shyama Sundar and understanding a little teeny bit of his abode. Then we offer our service to him. And however that may be, somebody might offer big service, somebody might offer service by singing, somebody might offer service by doing this or doing that, and somebody might offer service by telling other people about what they just learned. Anyway, so we're grateful. Indebted is the word. Indebted is the word that means that you can't really ever pay it back. It's not like he gave you $10 worth of knowledge and you give him a $10 tip. Unlimited value is the knowledge that we're getting. And we're responding by giving a little bit of our life air and endeavor. Ready for the verse? Okay, text 22. Manishitanubhavoyam.
Manishitanubhavoyam.
Mamalokavalokanam. Maloka valokanam yat upashrutya rahasi yat upashrutya rahasi chakarta paramam tapa chakarta paramam tapa. So, looking up there, how many words can you recognize? Yes. Tapa, right. That was the one I was hoping you'd recognize. Tapa. Chakarta paramam tapa. So there's something about penance in this verse, isn't there? Let's chant the verse and then we'll find out what it means. Manishitanubhavoyam. Mamalokavalokanam. Yadupashrutya rahasi chakartam paramam tapa. Paramam, that's the highest. We did the highest penance. Okay, please chant. Manishitanu bhavoyam mamalokavalokanam. Chakarta paramam tapa. Manishitanu bhavoyam. Mama loka valokanam. Yadupashrutya rahasi. Chakarta paramam tapa. Students? Manishinanubhavonyam. Mamalokavalokanam. Mama Loka Balokanam.
Yadu Pashutra Rahasi.
Sakarta Paramamama.
Manishitanu Bhavanyam.
Mama Loka Balokanam.
Pashvicharahasi
Chakarta Paramam
Manishitanu Bhavanyam
Mama Loka Valokanam
Yadu Pashvicharahasi
Chakarta Paramam Tapa Manishita
Ingenuity
Anubhava
Perception
I am
this
Mama
my
Loka
abode
Avalokanam
Seeing by
actual experience
Yat
because
Upashrutya
hearing
Rahasi
in great penance
Chakarta
having performed
Paramam
the highest
Tapa
penance
translation.
So this again, remember, this is the Lord talking to Brahma after Brahma had performed thousands of years of penance to understand him. So the Lord says, the highest perfectional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abode. So listen really carefully, and then we're going to try to say it in our own words, what this verse means, because there's a few words here that are a little hard to understand, like ingenuity. Do you know what ingenuity means? Yes, sir, tell us. Ingenuity. Smart, right, clever, good, very good, thanks. Okay, so the highest perfection of using your brain or using your intelligence or trying to figure out things, the highest perfection is the personal perception of my abodes. Personal perception. Can someone translate that into our day-to-day language? Personal perception of my abodes. First we get abodes. Abodes you know, right? What does abode mean? Home, place, where I live. But did you notice that it's not my home, it's my homes, my abodes, it's plural. So what does perception mean? Any volunteers from this classroom?
Someone said to see.
Thank you. Thanks for repeating it loud for the deaf people up here. Thanks, appreciate it. To see, it's to see. But it's even a little bit more than just seeing with your eyes, right? Perception is a little bit more than seeing with your eyes. Perception is seeing something and understanding it. So there's two things going on. It's understand, because we can see a lot of things. Have you seen anything lately that you haven't understood? Like, what? Anyway, yeah. But seeing something and understanding, oh, this is happening like that, this is happening like that because of this reason, that's a higher level. That's what you have to go, that's those persons you have to go to when something's broken. When something's broken, you look at it and think, what's wrong? You don't know because you don't understand the gizmo. But somebody who understands the gizmo can say, oh, you didn't do the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it can understand. So perception by understanding. The highest perfectional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes. So there's a very important word there, the personal perception that we see by our endeavor in bhakti, more or less. I'm stretching it a tad, but anyway. By our endeavor in bhakti, the perfection will be our result will be that we'll be able to perceive, see, understand personally the Lord's abode. In other words, we hear about the Lord's abode from the scriptures, but it's not our personal vision of it. We're hearing from perfected people who have seen it, and we see it in our mind's eye. But our personal perception of the Lord's abode means the Lord reveals himself to us. Whoa, that's pretty far out. He reveals, I'm like, here I am. I'm manifest before you. Better finish the translation, huh? Okay. And now he tells Brahma how come he got there. How did he get there? This is the result. And this has been made possible. Okay, you ready? Why, how is it made possible to see the Lord? The S word. Submissive. By your submissive attitude in performance of severe penance according to my order. So here's the whole thing. The highest perfectional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes. And this has been possible because of your submissive attitude in performance of severe penance according to my order. Okay, so now it's your turn to tell me what that means in our words. I'll do it one more time, and here's the question. After I read this one more time, and before all these boys go, we want to ask you, what's this verse talking about? Here it is. Okay, ready? Tune in.
Boys aren't going anywhere.
Okay, thanks. They look like they are. The highest perfectional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes, and this has been made possible because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. Can we start over here, just a little bit of what this verse means in our language? If I pick on Radha, is that not fair? Veda, okay, Veda, because that's her name, Veda. You don't have to do the whole thing, you just have to help start the prop. I know she's got it, but, okay, go ahead.
It's Krishna telling that because Lord Brahma performed austerities, he was able to realize and understand Lord Krishna's abode because Lord Krishna then revealed it to him.
Very good, thanks. Would anybody like to add some points to that? Because we can always expand on things. In other words, Veda just said, Krishna's telling Lord Brahma that you can see my abodes because of the penances that you did. Would anybody like to add? Because there's a few adjectives there in that verse that are very important.
The way in which he did it.
The way in which he did it. Okay, Gopal, let's hear your adjective.
Compliance.
You comply. But then, now, can you tell me how did he comply? Or what was the quality, what was the characteristic? The S word. S word, louder.
Submissive.
It's not always our favorite word. Or it might be a favorite word, but it's not always our favorite action. We'll put it that way, right? Submissive. So what does submissive mean? Just a few different word plays on submissive.
Humble.
Obedient. Yay. Respectful. Good. Follows instructions like he was told. He did it. Yes.
Penance.
Almost. Good. Thanks. Thanks for volunteering that. So Lord Brahma, yes, Narda?
Did they already say humble?
They did say humble, but it's good to say it again. It's good to say it again. Thank you. So Lord Brahma got the revelation because he heard the two syllables. What was his two syllables?
Tapa.
He heard it and he understood it meant? Austerities, penance, do some austerity. In other words, you could say, this isn't a free ride, guys. You know, just To come and sit here is a really nice thing to do, but it's not a free ride. In order to get to an understanding of loving and serving and wanting to serve Krishna, we have to do our part. Krishna's giving us everything. He's giving us all the information. He's giving us the association, etc., etc. And we come here, and we have to do our part. So Lord Brahma, he did his part. He heard the words tapa, he did his penance and austerity, and he got his transcendental result. He didn't, you know, and he got an A on it. You know, he got a good mark because he worked really hard. Could you say that again? Okay. Sorry. Anyway, thanks for that endeavor. Okay. So Krishna's congratulating Brahma. Here's the purport. So the highest perfectional stage of life is to know the Lord by actual perception. And here's another phrase. By the grace of the Lord. So what does that mean? Okay, what does that mean? I'm going to read it again. The highest perfectional stage of life is to know the Lord by actual perception, by the grace of the Lord. So what's the highest goal? Yes, Narda. Chanting japa is very good. That's a very high goal. Yes, and can you remind me what your name is?
Nalini.
Okay, Nalini, yes. What's the highest goal? What's the highest perfectional?
Going back to Godhead?
Yes, very good. Thanks, Nalini. And thanks, Narda, too. Yeah, so the highest perfectional stage of life is to know the Lord by how? Subhadra. You can look, it's okay. Is it there? Yeah. By actual perception, by? Yes. Now, does that remind you of a little pastime that comes up often? This is the hint. Damodar Leela. Now, why? Whoever said Damodar Leela now has to tell us why that means Damodar Leela, and why it has to do with this. Oh, there you are, guys. Look at where's that voice coming from? Thank you. Yes, because we have to. So this reminds you of Mother Yasoda, okay? From now on, all right? Because Mother Yasoda, when she was trying to bind Krishna, she was trying really hard. She was like sweating it out, trying to get more robes. She just needed a little bit more rope. She got another rope, but it still wasn't enough. Anyway, you were familiar with the story. And so how did she bind the Lord? Yes?
With her love.
With her love. She kept trying, and then what? Krishna let her. He let her bind him. Because if he didn't want to let her bind him, she never would have been able to. So we make our endeavor, that's really important, our endeavor, and we wait on, not just sit back and wait, but we endeavor to please the Lord. And when he's pleased, then the magic happens.
Jai.
Nalini, what would you like to add?
He's pleased.
He's what? He's pleased?
And he's pleased,
we're pleased. And when we're pleased, because he's pleased, then he's pleased that we're pleased. And it goes on and on and on. True. It's true. Okay, so this is what Brahma's situation was. It wasn't outside the realm of our experience, so to speak. He made his endeavor, and the Lord was pleased. And he revealed everything to Brahma. He revealed Brahma. Do you know what Lord Brahma's job is? Lord Brahma has to create the universe and the places. Creating the universe is one huge job, right? All the planets and the places where people stay. But he also has to create the situations that everybody is to be put into. Haribol, thanks for coming. Okay. He has to create the situation. So a person endeavors in one lifetime and through many lines gets accumulated karma, and he gets elevated because he did a lot, he did a few good things, and somebody else did a few bad things, and he gets degraded. Lord Brahma has to place them in different situations. He has to create a body in a situation, and he has to do that every day of his life. Every day in the morning, Lord Brahma creates the universe and the situations for the people. And every day the situation changes. So he's got a lot, but Krishna revealed him, to him that situation. Prabhupada says, this can be attained by everyone who is willing to discharge the act of devotional service to the Lord as enjoined in the revealed scriptures that are standard and accepted by bona fide acharyas, spiritual masters. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita is approved Vedic literature accepted by the great acharyas, such as, and here, perhaps you might not be familiar with all these people that are mentioned. He's mentioning Sankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Vishwanath, Baladev, Siddhanta Saraswati, and many others. So it's not that they just in time for the kids to leave, the sprinkler system comes on. Okay, sorry. So these people, Sankaracharya, he even expounds a whole different philosophy than what we're accustomed to. But he accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a variety of philosophies there, including the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, which is what we're attempting to follow. Okay, so in that Bhagavad Gita, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, asks that one always be mindful of him, always be his devotees, always worship him only, and always bow down before the Lord. Anybody left in the room who knows that verse in Sanskrit? Roger? Well, thank you. Anyone on this side of the room or here in the, on the floor? Anyone on the floor? That's how I could qualify it. Anyone on the floor know the Sanskrit to that verse? Now that you got the first bit of hint. Sundari, do you know? I'm just asking. Not to put you on the spot, just a little spot. He gave the beginning. Manmana. Together, that's it. Strength in numbers. Pretty good. Hopefully you get the gist of it. Divyanga is going to tell us the whole thing just to help out. You did a great job, girls. Thanks.
It means always remember me, always think of me, bow down to me, worship me, become my devotee.
Yes. He gives us four instructions. Bow down to him, think of him, worship him, and offer respects. Yeah. And by so doing, you get a good result. You know what he says, Prabhupada says? And by so doing, one is sure to go back home, back to Godhead, without any doubt. So sometimes on the path, it seems a little doubtful that we're going to make the goal in this one lifetime. But it doesn't, in that one sense, it doesn't matter. If we make our endeavor to always remember Krishna, to bow down, to offer our respects, to always glorify him, to associate with devotees, we're going to get there. Because that's Krishna's promise. In other places, also the same order is there, that one give up all other engagements and fully surrender to the Lord without hesitation. And the Lord will give such a devotee all protection. These are the secrets. The secrets of attaining the highest perfectional state. Lord Brahma exactly followed these principles without any superiority complex. Isn't that interesting? Lord Brahma exactly followed these principles without any superiority complex. And thus he attained the highest perfectional stage of experiencing the abode of Lord Krishna and the Lord himself with all his paraphernalia. Impersonal realization, which is a bona fide step in the path of progress back to Godhead, it's bona fide. But hear what Prabhupada says. He says, impersonal realization of the effulgence of the Lord's body, it's not the highest perfectional stage, nor is the stage of Paramatma, realizing the Lord in the heart. The word manishita is significant. Here. Everyone is falsely or factually proud of his so-called learning. That goes back to Lord Brahma's superiority complex. Everyone, or that he didn't have a superiority, sorry, Lord Brahma. Everyone is falsely or factually proud of his so-called learning. But the Lord says that the highest perfectional stage of learning is to know him and his abode devoid of all illusion. So, And so here's what Srila Prabhupada's talking about in this last section of the purport, that Lord Brahma performed the austerities. He heard, and by Krishna, even, because you even figure, how did Lord Brahma even know what tapa meant? He knew what it meant because Krishna revealed it to him in his heart. And in the very next verse, I'll give you a hint. Here's what's going to happen tomorrow, just in case you want to come. He says, this is the next verse. O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. So when Lord Brahma climbed down that lotus stem and tried to find out where he came from, and he heard the word tapa, that was Krishna. That was, not only was the sound vibration from Krishna, but the ability to understand it was from Krishna within his heart. And the situation that Lord Brahma was in was created by Krishna. And Lord Brahma was part and parcel of Krishna. And guess what? That's our exact position also. In the sense that we're created by Krishna. Krishna's in our heart. He's giving us the ability to understand things if we so desire. And the more that we desire to understand things, the more he'll give us the ability and the direction how to get there, and the association needed, and the important things to hear and contemplate. He'll give it. He's giving us everything. And we just have to acknowledge that and practice to see that and act on that. Everything is there. The highest goal of achievement is there for every single one of us. Somebody might be really smart. There might be some people that are really smart and they can remember everything and they know all the answers to all the questions that ever get asked in school or whatever. And some people might be really good with their hands, and some people might be really good to figure out machines, and some people might just be simple this or that, so whatever. Everything, it's not an academic qualification of understanding Krishna, but it's a heart qualification of understanding Krishna. By that sincere desire, which is possible for every single one of us to have, that sincere desire to understand Krishna, to know him, to love him, to serve him. That's possible. We just have to clear off all the distraction in our hearts and brains that keep us from thinking that that's a good that's something valuable to achieve. It's very valuable to achieve. So here it says, the last sentence. Second to last. Everyone is falsely or factually proud of his so-called learning. But if that pride in learning is devoid or absent or doesn't have any understanding of God and that I'm a servant of God, then it's false. It's false because even if one has so much learning they can build and fund and this and that, a skyscraper building or a community or this or that or a city or a rocket that goes up in the air, even if one has that much brains but they don't see the power of the Lord behind it, it doesn't help them, you know? So someone might be proud of their learning, but if they're learning things that are just temporary, that's the key. The difference between reality and illusion. Illusion means that it's temporary. Our material world is temporary, and all the things and situations are temporary. But reality, our real identity, is eternal. We temporarily are in this particular body, or that particular body, or whichever body you're in, and you'll be in it for a few hundred years, if you're lucky. But I'm just dreaming, encouraging. You'll be in it for a while, okay? You'll be in it for a while. But 100 years ago, you weren't there. Even 50 years, even some of you, even 10 years ago, you weren't there. Well, not you guys, but anyway. A few years back, you weren't in this body. And a few years more, I'm not going to be in this body either. But I'm going to exist. And what's the illusion is to think, this is me. This is who I am. And the reality is to remember, oh, I'm just sitting inside this little bird cage. I'm inside this body, but I'm a spirit soul. That's reality. And that's free from illusion. I'm a spirit soul. I'm a servant of Krishna. So knowledge to that degree, that's real knowledge, and that's going to help us get to the highest goal. Knowledge of all the latest video games and technology and this and that. It'll be a few years before you get frustrated with technology, but some of us are already quite frustrated with technology. But it doesn't matter, because in a few years, I got news for you, there won't be the same technology. It'll be all different, and it might not even exist. But you as a spirit soul will still exist, and you as a spirit soul being part and parcel of Krishna will still exist, and you as a spirit soul being part and parcel of Krishna and rendering devotional service and getting happy from that will still be a possibility. So my recommendation is, let's study that. I mean, you got to do the other things too, but let's study that and reach the height. So how about any feedback, any comments, any questions, any thoughts, and any doubts? They're all acceptable, and someone can answer something. And the hardest one is to be the first one, and here's teach. Yes, Dr. Banks.
What does austerity mean? What does it mean to practice
austerity? That's a really good question, because it can mean... it's good for me to think about. What does austerity mean? Austerity, that's a deep question. There's a lot of ways you could answer that. Austerity means, oftentimes it means doing something that it's not your first favorite thing to do, but you know it's good for you because you heard from authority like your spiritual master that you should do it, so you do it whether you like it or not. Like, I can think of one austerity, is how about chanting japa, right? I mean, sometimes we love to chant japa, sometimes. And sometimes it's hard, but we do it because we've heard over and over and over and over and over and over and over again that if we chant the holy names of the Lord and we try to chant with attention and love, then we'll be able to understand him. Some days it's easier to do than others, but we do it. That's one form of austerity. Anybody else would like to add to this, what does austerity mean? Because it's a good question, because oftentimes austerity is advertised as, like, when you get your chance to go to travel around India, sometimes you'll see people in front of temples sitting on pricker bushes with big, not just pricker bushes with little spikes, but big, long, spiky pricker bushes. And sometimes they even roll from side to side, so they make sure they get poked even more so that they can tolerate the pain. So yes, that's austerity. That's very austere. But that self-inflicted pain or that type of austerity is not what's being described here. So don't worry. You don't have to do that. Maybe next time you come into class, we can make pricker bush mats. No, sorry. Bad idea. Jayashree didn't like that. Jayashree didn't like that. Okay, we won't do that. Thank you. Child protection to the rescue. So austerity means we get instructions from spiritual master, from authorities, and we do it because it's beneficial. Can other people help me with some definitions of what is austerity or examples? No, you need, because
the austerity is to please Krishna.
Can you say it even louder, even though you're speaking into the mic?
Austerity, you do it to please Krishna.
Satisfied. Thank you. Yes, you do it to please Krishna. It's not your favorite. It's not your first thing on the list of your own personal endeavor, but to do to please Krishna, we do it. Jayashree Radhe, any of your girls or yourself would like to add to that? Because it's a good question, because austerity is a... It's one of those words that, you know, doesn't usually bring warm and fuzzy feelings.
Well, I talked about this last week. That's why I was hesitant to say. But to me, especially for young people, austerity means you move out of the current of your life into Krishna's current. So it means whatever that is, you know, making an extra effort to bring an offering, to wear tilak in public, to you know, go to the Rath Yatra, stay in the Rath Yatra, not just go to the beach. Like, those are all austerities. Your mind wants to do these other things, but you say, no, I'm going to bring it and I'm going to say Krishna is what's important right now. So very small things in life. It's not like what the prickle mats. It's every moment that you can make a choice, like, I'm going to go this way and please myself, or I'm going to include Krishna in it. And it doesn't have to be painful.
Right.
Austerity doesn't mean pain, but it means, like, who's the focus? Like, why are we doing what we're doing?
Excellent. Thanks. I'm glad I asked. other, over here, Dougie, the wise words of experience. Hare Krishna.
The seventh graders were learning about determination, right, in Unit 3. You know, the sparrow had determination. What was that definition that we were looking at? Do you remember in seventh grade? The sparrow was determined to not give up.
Can you just give us a brief explanation of the sparrow story in case not everybody's focused on it? So, Padre, yeah, you can. You can. Yeah, you can do it. It's an austerity. Do it for Krishna.
So, what happened was that the sparrow had its
eggs
and the babies, and they were drifted off into the ocean, and the sparrow was begging the ocean to give back her eggs, but it wasn't listened. So then she was determined to, like, sip from the ocean to get her eggs. So
yeah.
Everybody else was laughing at her, but she was determined to not give up and get her babies back. So Garuda Dev, he saw this and he told the ocean to give it back, and the ocean was scared of Garuda because he's pretty powerful. So Garuda Dev, he asked and the ocean gave back the sparrow's egg.
Thanks. Exactly. So in other words, if we look at that example, we can read that example and say, oh, how cute, that sparrow was so determined. But let's just take it. Just consider the task that sparrow undertook, or even considered doing. I mean, I have to admit, I probably wouldn't even have entered my mind that I think I could dry up the ocean by a handful at a time, you know, or a beakful at a time. What to speak of, a thimble full at a time, a teeny weeny cup full at a time. Imagine, and she came up with that idea because why? Because of love for her eggs, you know? And so she said, give them back. No, you know the story. But she was determined not to give up. Her task was impossible. So in other words, you can say our task of thinking that we're going to go back to Godhead, that's impossible. But we make our endeavor and we get the help from Garuda and the Lord and the devotees, and we get the help from the powerful personalities, and then it becomes possible. So I guess we could say that one of the take-home thoughts for the day on this verse is that's what Lord Brahma did. He woke up in darkness, had no clue, no one else to tell him what to do, didn't know what to do, didn't know who he was, didn't know why the lotus flower was blowing back and forth like it was, because there was a huge wind blowing. But he was determined to find out his source. And when he got some clue, when he heard those ta-pa, that's the two syllables, ta and pa, and realized that it meant austerity, he said, well, that's what I got to do. So we can take these little things, and he became successful. By his endeavor, he became successful, but not only by his endeavor. By his endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord. So that's possible for all of us, no matter how wiggly or big or old and feeble we are. End of lecture. Hare Krishna.
Oh,
one more question. Okay. I understand. No problem. No problem. Thank you very much for your kind attendance. Hare Krishna. Come again anytime, especially next Wednesday. Hare Krishna. So we have one more question, or a few more questions, perhaps. So would you like to ask your question? Okay, all right. All right, any other comments or questions?
So, may you explain further what means falsely or factually proud?
Falsely or factually proud. That was...
How's that?
Thank you for that. Yeah, so Lord Brahma... So, it's a question of attitude. In other words, Lord Brahma did achieve something great, right? He did achieve transcendental knowledge. So he could have been proud of my... Look what I've achieved. But and been falsely thinking that it was by my endeavor. It was by the Lord's mercy, and his endeavor was important and necessary, but it wasn't only by his endeavor. So somebody who's falsely proud, another phrase that Prabhupada uses in another place, he says, sometimes we're falsely proud of borrowed plumes. So what that means is we're getting everything from the Lord. We're getting the ability to think and act and this and that even comes from the Lord. But if we're an illusion thinking that this is me that's doing it, that's a false conception. And it takes away from that actually we're doing it by the Lord's mercy, which is that's the reality. So that can be applied on many levels. Factually, just like in the story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopakumar, in the beginning part, when Narada goes from this devotee to that devotee to see who has acquired the Lord's mercy, the most mercy from the Lord. So he hears of this devotee and he goes to that devotee. And every single devotee says, I haven't gotten the mercy of the most mercy from the Lord. This other person has got. In other words, for example, even when he went to Prahlad, Prahlad said, I didn't get the most mercy from the Lord. This other person did. So, but when we look at Prahlad's story, yes, he got the mercy from him. He got the protection of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Yes, he got it, but he wasn't proud. I got the mercy and you didn't, or whatever, you know. He wasn't proud. He was seeing in reality. The Lord's mercy is available for everyone, and he's equally distributing it to everyone. Some people realize that it's coming from the Lord, and some people think it's by my endeavor. So those think that it's by my endeavor or whatever, they're falsely proud. And even someone who's qualified, let's say, like a Prahlad or someone who's received the mercy of the Lord, he's not thinking it's me. He's thinking it's Krishna. So he's even though he has the quote-unquote right to be proud that he got the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadeva, he's not thinking in that way. So that's the proper perspective. And that's what pride, even in the verse that we chant in the beginning of the class, that by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of God, it is established as an irrevocable fact. That almost completely destroyed was explained in one class I heard, Bhakti Shastri class I heard. Because there's a tendency when one accumulates knowledge, even spiritual or transcendental knowledge, one becomes proud and wants to exhibit their knowledge. I know this verse, I know that, and you know, whatever. But because pride is there and it has to be always vigilantly monitored, you know, because that ahamkar, that false perception is very active and strong. Ananda Krishna, one more time, and then we'll end because Hare Krishna.
And I have here a kind of conflict. And then, cannot be proud but can feel fortunate of the mercy
yes.
of
yes.
the my spiritual master,
yes.
Lord Nrisimhadeva. Because
yes.
I feel like I am very grateful, fortunate. But I don't know if proud, but maybe it's proud too.
No, fortunate and pride are different. You know, feeling fortunate is realizing that, and feeling fortunate is reality. You know, if we don't feel fortunate that we've received the mercy from the spiritual master in however form, then it's again that misconception that I'm doing this on my own. But we're acknowledging the mercy of the Lord and giving him or this, you know, or that, those transcendental personalities the credit. So we are fortunate, but at the same time, it brings a responsibility, you know, of distributing the mercy to others or acknowledging like that. So nuance, it's a subtle difference, you know. Thank you. Okay, thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You should come every time, because actually anybody can speak on the shastra, but how you receive it, you can get